The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. There are a group of Catholics within our church, and they're everywhere. You'll find them everywhere. They're not exactly practicing Catholics, but you really can't say they're non-practicing either, because they're pretty much consistent in how they practice their faith. We priests refer to them as CEOs, which stands for Christmas, Easter Only. And no matter what you say, you will absolutely have no success in convincing them of the actual importance of keeping holy the Lord's Day. But they always manage to come on Christmas and Easter. And when you think about it, those 2 days are very safe days to come to Mass. First of all, the celebration is of new life, the birth of Jesus or his resurrection. It's a very joyful occasion. And in the Gospel, Jesus doesn't say a word. When you think of it, those are the only days they go. They really don't hear any words of Jesus in the Scriptures. And on those days, he's silent. In the case of Christmas, he's a baby, doesn't speak, he's in the background. And on Easter, he's missing in action. There's the empty tomb. And so again, those are very safe days. Well, here we are on the first Sunday of ordinary time after the rather elongated period of Lent and Easter, followed after Pentecost with the last 2 weeks of the great feasts of Trinity Sunday and last Sunday, Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and the blood of Christ. We are now back in ordinary time. I'm wearing green again. We're here just in the regular celebration of Mass, listening to the words of Jesus. And what we have in today's gospel is not a very safe gospel. This is one of these moments in the Scriptures where when you ask people, if they were to describe Jesus in one word, he's gentlemanly, he's forgiving, he's loving, he's gracious. I mean, find me a human being, any human being, who fits all those attributes that people love to hook to Jesus. But they like to gloss over gospels such as today, where Jesus can be a real son of a gun. And Jesus seems to be somewhat moody and short-tempered. He's very terse in his dealing with his disciples, because in many ways he's addressing something that perhaps is all too common for everybody. Maybe no one is an exception to this. To a certain degree or another, he's addressing the shallowness of people declaring their faith in him. "I'll follow you." Or in the case of his own apostles, how anxious they are to call down fire from heaven to consume anyone who doesn't agree with Jesus or doesn't welcome Jesus. But especially in the last part of today's gospel, it's almost as if Jesus is bound and determined to drive anyone away who expresses an interest in following him, mainly because he wants to really drive home what it means to follow him, that one can't do it halfway, one can't make exceptions, one can't have provisos or classifications to how, in fact, they're going to follow Jesus. But he expects an absolute approach to how he's going to follow them. We see a lot of that even today, where we have people who will classify their Catholicism. They'll classify their Christianity. We like to put it in terms of they'll pick and choose under what conditions they will follow Jesus, or pick and choose the various teachings they'll accept and the various teachings they kind of will conveniently ignore and still consider themselves followers of Christ. The late Pope John Paul II referred to them as cafeteria Catholics. I like to refer to them as yes, but Catholics. They engage in a kind of Catholicism called yes, but Catholicism. And we see it in today's gospel, where Jesus says, follow me. And obviously the man says, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first and bury my father. And to him, Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Now, that might seem a little harsh, because it is one of the works of mercy, is burying the dead, until you consider perhaps that the father might still be alive. I still have obligations to my father. I'll follow you when I no longer have that to distract me. And so there's where Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. One says, I'll follow you, but let me say farewell to my family at home. And again, the last line of the gospel, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. We perhaps could see that in various forms of how Catholicism is practiced today, where people will call themselves Catholic, they'll call themselves Christian, followers of Christ, but then they put a classification to it. Yes, I'm Catholic, but I only go to Mass on Christmas and Easter. Some even said, yes, I'm Catholic, but I'm not practicing. Yes, I'm Catholic, but I don't agree with all the teachings of the church. Yes, I'm Catholic, but I think the church is just a little too pro-life. Yes, I'm Catholic, but, and then you throw in what the proviso and exception happens to be. And it's an interesting point to notice, because it's a popular grammatical issue that people like to point out, especially these days. In a sentence, everything before the word but is worthless once the word but is uttered. The word but negates everything that came before it in a sentence, rendering it worthless. And if we remember the words of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, some people remember him with great fondness. He had a television show in the early years of television, and there are still many people who have recordings of his speeches, his talks. But one of the things he is known for saying is, anyone who says, I am Catholic, but, is really saying, I'm not Catholic. It seems harsh, but that's how Jesus is addressing that issue in today's gospel. He's being as terse with them as they are with him. I'll follow you, but I've got other distractions that I need to attend to first. And Jesus himself is very good at playing the yes, but game with his own disciples. Yes, you have followed all the commandments, but you still have one more thing left to do. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Jesus throws the but in all the time, especially when people are asking, above all things, for assurances that the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And if you really look throughout the scriptures, and it's not really throughout the scriptures, throughout the gospels, try and find it. You won't find anywhere where Jesus says, you've made it. He'll say, you're not far. He'll say, you're on your way. He'll commend people for being on the right track. But nowhere does he say, you've made it. Or actually, in all honesty, there is only one place where he says, today you will be with me in paradise, I assure you. But he's saying it to a man who is being crucified along with him, who doesn't have much more of a life left, not much more screwing up to do, and very little opportunity for any further conversion. There's where Jesus gave him his assurance, when the man was on death's door alongside Jesus himself. But nowhere else in the scriptures does Jesus give us that. Because he's constantly calling us to recognize our shortcomings, to recognize where we fall short, to recognize where any of us are those yes, but followers. And that's just not anybody. I put myself in that as well. Hopefully you figured out hearing my homilies up to now. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. And if you want a priest who's perfect, let me know. I'll go join his church. But all of us, perhaps, one way or another, are guilty of yes, but Catholicism. And on this first Sunday of ordinary time, now that we've celebrated the great feasts of Easter and the subsequent celebrations that come on the heels of the Easter season, we are now back to business, the regular business of coming to Mass, listening to the words of Jesus, and applying them into our lives in an ongoing effort to more substantially, fully, and honestly live that gospel we are called as followers of Christ. So in this particular day, let us take that challenge in this very unsafe gospel in which a very unsavory and moody Jesus calls a number of people on their own shortcomings in being his followers. And with the grace that we receive in this Eucharist today, let us ask ourselves, how and where are any of us guilty of yes, but Catholicism? And in this Eucharist, let us receive that grace to overcome that. Let Christ challenge us. Let Christ chide us if we need it. I'd rather he chide me now than before his judgment seat. But let us make use of this grace that he gives us in this Eucharist so that we can move away from any place we recognize in which we are guilty of yes, but Catholicism. Recognize that ongoing process in which we are called to more fully and substantially follow Christ. To recognize none of us are perfect, and yet Jesus still gives us that means to overcome that imperfection and to be cleansed of our sins in that great sacrament of reconciliation, in which many people, even in our church, say, yes, I'm Catholic, but I don't think it's necessary to go to confession to a priest. That's another bit of yes, but Catholicism, unfortunately, many people need to overcome. But in all things, let us pray that by the grace of this Eucharist, we will recognize those shortcomings where we are guilty of yes, but Catholicism, so that we can overcome that and throughout this whole course of our life, move closer and closer to that point when we have no classifications, no provisos, no limits, no conditions, that we can come forth and say, yes, Lord, we are your followers. We are Catholic Christian members of the Church. And we are here to follow you wherever you go. No ifs, ands, or buts.